chapter 10. Brother John, if you can help me on that side. Brother Bill or John, one or the other. We got a John on this side. We need a Bill on this side. All right. This is our fourth lesson in the discipleship course that we're going through. The first lesson was the introduction to discipleship, and our key verse, of course, at the top of the page is John 8:31. And that verse says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed." So not every saved person is a disciple of Christ. A disciple is a person that gets saved and then follows through in living for the Lord and following the Lord. We cannot decide who is saved, but we can pretty much decide who's a disciple by the course of and direction of their life. We've talked about some things about discipleship. Our first lesson was on Scripture saturation. In other words, to be a disciple of Christ, you've got to read His Word. A disciple of Socrates or Plato or Aristotle is one who follows the teachings of that person. A disciple of Christ is one who follows the teachings of Christ, and not just in a generic form, but one who reads His Word regularly to know what the mind of Christ is. Last week we looked at prayer. Prayer is an integral part of the Christian life. To be a disciple, we have to have communication with God. Scripture reading is God communicating to us. Prayer is us communicating to God. And it takes both parts to make a well-rounded disciple of Christ. Tonight we're looking to Hebrews chapter 10. Of course, it's a very familiar verse. And I'd mention you're going to be glad you're here tonight, because tonight we're looking at church attendance. So if you're not here, your ears are burning. Because if we're going to be a disciple of Christ, there's going to be not only Bible reading, not only prayer, but there's going to be regular church attendance. Now, that's not a popular subject among most Christians today. And the church is under attack, so to speak. People demean and belittle the importance of church. But when you read your New Testament, you can't get away from the word church. It's all over the place. And God gave the ordinance for the church, the officers of the church, the manner of giving to the church, the day of worship of the church. You just can't get away from it. The church is important. But we live in a day that's demeaned and demoralized the church, so to speak. And people say, "Well, I used to go, but." There's no good reason for but. Absolutely, unless you're dead, there's no good reason for but. But you hear it all the time when you go talk to people. "Well, I used to go to church, but." And they'll say, "Well, this happened here, this happened there." Well, they don't quit going anywhere else because they run into trouble. And the church is made up of human beings, and it's not always going to be smooth. There's going to be some things, some ruffled feathers, some things sometimes, but we're disciples of Christ, not disciples of one another. So we keep going to church to be faithful to Him. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 is a very familiar verse where Paul said, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." Very simple. I love the simplicity of the Bible. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. The Bible says, "As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Now our lesson tonight is not going to be on ecclesiology. Ecclesiology is the doctrine of the church. Now, I can tell you how many times the word church appears in the New Testament. We could talk about the founder of the church, the head of the church, the chief cornerstone of the church. We'll do that when we get to ecclesiology, the doctrine of the church. But tonight we just want to look at some practical things about the church. Not the doctrinal, but the practical. And the Bible is full of both of those. In fact, doctrine, good doctrine leads to good practice. And good practice follows good doctrine. So they're tied together. Ken, this is really loud. You need to take this down a little bit, okay? I'm feeling like my throat's doing something here. All right? So we're going to look at the church. I want you to turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 4. This is on our outline tonight, but look, if you would, at Luke chapter 4. And let's see that Jesus went to church. All right? People say, "Well, did Jesus go to church?" Yes. How often? Every week. And where do you find that? In the Bible. Luke chapter 4. Look, if you would, at verse 16. And we saw this in Sunday school a few months ago when we were studying through Luke chapter 4 about something. I remember verse 16, and he, Jesus, came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. As his custom was. You know what that means? Jesus was raised in Nazareth, and every Sabbath day he went into the synagogue. He was a faithful attender. Now, we know the church didn't begin till he was crucified and died, so we can't say that's the church, but that is the forerunner of the church, the synagogue, meeting on the Sabbath day, the church on Sunday, the first day of the week. But Jesus went, as his custom was, if we want to be like Christ, we got to be in church every week. It's just that simple. And a Christian that says, well, I'm trying to be like Christ, but I don't believe in the church, or don't go to church, you're missing it. You're not getting it. Jesus went to the church every week. All right, he was regular there. So, we're going to look this evening at the sevenfold purpose of the church. What is, and as I say sevenfold, I had to really kind of blend this and get it down to seven because there's many more reasons. There's nothing in here about giving of our tithes and offerings. There's other things that aren't in this list. But seven reasons the church is important and why Christ gave us the church. Thank God he did. You know, he could have just saved us and left us on our own for the rest of life, and we'd be wandering out there like a man on an island, trying to survive on our own. But God gave us the church. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And so he gave us the church for a purpose, and we're going to look at the sevenfold purpose here this evening. First of all, number one, he gave us the church for preaching. For preaching. Acts chapter 5, verse 42 is on the outline, and daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now, as you look at that verse, I want to remind you again, this is in the original days of the church. They did not have a church building like we do to meet in. They met in houses. And so the Bible tells us that daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. I said this a couple of weeks ago, or I've said this recently. Somebody says, well, where in the Bible does it say you're supposed to go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? That's not in the Bible. You're right, it's not. In the Bible, they went Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday. Daily. Daily in the temple and house to house they went. At the beginning, the early church met every single day. So we don't need to cut back on services. If we want to be like the early church, we don't drop Sunday night church. We don't cancel Sunday school. We want to be like the early church. We're going to add services throughout the week. But those that are using that excuse not to go to church aren't looking for you to add services. They're looking for you to back off on some. Where does the Bible say you have to go? They went daily. Daily in the temple and in every house. And what do? They cease not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Preaching is the emphasis of the church. And it's emphasized to feed us, to give us what we need, to give us spiritual nourishment. Notice Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 there on the outline also. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. When we get saved, we need preaching. We need old philosophies and old attitudes and old thought processes out, and we need something new in. And we need to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Now you say, well, I can get it by reading my Bible at home and praying at home. You can, but Christ gave the church for the purpose of preaching. And we cannot eliminate the preaching. When we do, we're eliminating a main ingredient of our Christian growth. We live in a day where everybody's got an opinion. Everybody thinks, well, I think it says this, and I think it says that. We need to get somewhere where someone has spent some time and dug down deep and got the meaning of the verse, and we come and we preach it expositorily, and we look at the Word of God, and we get fed by the Word of God. We need that. I fear those, and you'll never have to worry about this happening. Some folks wonder if they come to adult Sunday school Bible Baptist churches. That means it's question and answer, and everybody, you know, I've heard of those churches where they sit around the table with their donuts and coffee, and the leader brings up a verse, and they all talk about what they think that verse means. That's chaos. That's crazy. Getting everybody in there that doesn't know the back of the Bible from the front of the Bible, some of them, now some people do, I understand, but you get everybody saying, well, I think it means this, you're not going to come out with anything. That's like one of those counselors that you go to that listens to everything and never says, no, you're wrong, or yes, you're right, or anything. That's what those things mean. I've sat in some of those before, so I know whereof I speak. But when we come for the preaching of the Word of God, it's have it delivered to us from the Word of God. And Paul said, we preach warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. You can jot this down, Psalm chapter 40, verse 9. David said, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. The purpose of the church is for the preaching of the Word of God. Again, churches have minimized that. They've gotten away from that. They're doing everything but preaching. They've got special music. They got dancing. They got just about everything going on. 20 or 30 years ago, we never would have contemplated what churches are doing today. And yet now the progression and the direct direction, we've gotten away from preaching. And so that's what happened. Look, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, just a couple of verses there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. The preaching of the cross. 1 Corinthians 1:18. The preaching of the cross. And that's what Paul was good at. Verse 21. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to come and hear preaching. We get the philosophy of the world all day long. We get the opinions and views of society all day long. We need to get somewhere where we can feed on the Word of God and have the Word of God preached and proclaimed. The world needs that today. The world needs more preaching. Sad to say, it doesn't have the effect that it used to have. You know, you begin, as I was researching, as I was looking at the word preach all throughout the New Testament, when you first start, it's all open-air preaching. John the Baptist, Jesus, even the disciples in the beginning of the book of Acts, and then it got to the church preaching, although Paul on the mission field went into all those cities and things. We just need more of proclaiming the Word of God. It's the only thing that's going to fix our world and fix our society. So the first purpose of the church is preaching. Number two, the second purpose of the church is fellowship. Fellowship. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Again, Acts chapter 2 is the origin of the church, the birth of the church at the day of Pentecost. And the purpose for the disciples all getting together was for fellowship. We might say that friendship. But we need fellowship. Once you're brought out of darkness into light, you need to fellowship with other people that are in the light. That's all throughout the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 6, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. What concord has Christ with Belial? All right, so the church is a place where we can come. You know, when you come in here, you don't have to worry about hearing a cuss word. You don't have to worry about hearing something immoral. You don't have to worry about something contrary to God being promoted. But anywhere else, anywhere in the world you're at, you never know when it's going to hit you. You can be on the job. You can be in the schoolhouse. You can be somewhere and somebody's going to come up and say something. That I was at the gas station the other day. I just minding my own business down here at the gas station, putting gas in my car. And the other guy, I forget what, something came up, a conversation, and he came out with this word. And I just thought, I haven't heard that word in ages because I don't hang around with people that use that word. And it kind of stunned me to hear somebody use that word. You know, a lot of folks know I'm a preacher, so they kind of cut back on their language automatically. But this guy had no idea, and I forget what the kind of, but he just came out with this word out of the blue, and I felt dirty the minute I heard it. And the reason we have church is so we can fellowship with people that we can feel clean when we're done having a conversation and feel clean when we go back out the door. And so the purpose of the church is fellowship. Christian fellowship is essential to Christian living. Christian fellowship is essential to Christian living. If you hang around with unsaved people, you will begin to talk and act like unsaved people. It's there we go to the duh principle again, right? Duh. If you're around people that cuss and swear, I guarantee it might not come out of your mouth the first time, but you'll think it in your head. And then it's only a matter of time before it comes out of your mouth. Now, I know some associations we can't get away from on the workplace, stuff like that. But we can choose our friends. We can choose our fellowship. And our choice of fellowship indicates our spiritual condition. I'll say that again. Our choice of fellowship indicates our spiritual condition. Who do we choose to be around? What kind of people? It ought to be God's people. And that's the reason for the church. Look at 1 John chapter 1. Not the Gospel of John, but 1 John. 1 John, aren't you glad you're here tonight? Yeah, nobody said amen. 1 John.
The ones that need to hear this the most are the ones that are not here tonight. You know how that goes. 1 John chapter 1. Verse number 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. See, that's Paul's desire, to fellowship with other believers. After Paul was converted, he didn't want to be around Pharisees. He didn't want to be about Sadducees. He didn't want to be around the same crowd he hung around before he got saved. He wanted a whole different crowd. Look down, if you would, at verse number 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. It's as simple. You could take out a piece of paper and you could write down. I'd ask you, don't do this. Write down the names of your closest friends, the people you spend the most time around. List them. Then when you're done, look back at that list. Is that one a Christian? 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 Now you know your spiritual condition. Because birds of a feather flock together. All right? And you desire to be around those people that are like-minded. So if that list is not Christian, there's a problem there. The church is for fellowship. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. Your life will change. Our lives change when we hang around Christian people. And then the people that we used to hang around with when we become a Christian all wonder what in the world happened to us. But sometimes they never know we're saved, never know anything happened because there's no change in us. So fellowship, the sevenfold purpose of the church, for preaching, for fellowship. Number 3, encouragement. Aren't you glad we got to this one quick? All right, preacher, enough of the preaching, enough of the fellowship. Give me the encouragement. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the verse we've already read. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the man is, but exhorting one another. The word exhorting literally is encouraging one another. We ran across that word in something recently because when I looked up the dictionary this week, I thought, I just looked this up recently. The word exhort means to incite by words or actions. In other words, our words or actions encourage someone else to do what we're doing. That's what exhortation is. In other words, exhortation is not me telling you what to do, but I don't do it. Exhortation is me setting the example and telling you to do likewise. So when we come to church, we can exhort one another because we're in the house of God together, we're hearing the preaching, we're fellowshipping with each other, and we can encourage one another. Encourage to live for Christ. Our lives should not be a discouragement to people. It should be an encouragement for others to follow Christ, to walk in the right way, exhorting one another. Look at Hebrews 10. We're reading verse 25, but look at verse 24 also. Hebrews 10 and verse 24. Paul said, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. So that's our purpose for gathering, to exhort one another, to encourage one another in the things of Christ. In the things of Christ. Preaching, fellowship, encouragement. Number 4, accountability. Accountability. Now, some folks won't like this one. Accountability. The purpose of the church is for accountability. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You know why folks don't like to go to church? Because they don't want to be accountable. I have known folks that have joined bigger churches so that no one will know when they're there and when they're not there. Why? Because they don't want to be accountable. It should be noticed we should be missed when we're not there. We should be noticed when we're not there. And on a human level, it gives us accountability. You know, in everything we do, we're accountable to somebody. There's nothing we can do on the job, in life, there's nothing we can do. We're not accountable to somebody. In the spiritual realm, we're accountable also. And here the Bible says we're accountable to the under-shepherd of the church that watches for our souls. So we come to church because we're accountable to make sure we're in the right place. Sometimes that's the only reason we come to church, is for make sure everybody else saw that we're in church. But at least that's a good reason. We're making ourselves accountable. I can't tell you the number of Christians, and I know you've seen it too, the number of Christians over the years that at one time were faithful in church, that got out of church and they got away from God. When you get away from church, you'll get away from God. Another duh principle. It's amazing how many of those there are. It's just, that's the way it is. You get out of church, you'll get away from God. Because church makes us accountable. We have to be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We ought to desire to be there. We ought to love being there. But at least it makes us accountable. When there's no accountability, we don't do it. If you don't have to clock in, you don't show up on time. You show up whenever you feel like getting there. But having to clock in on the job site means, or the boss being there, it means you've got to be there at a certain time. Accountability. The same thing is true in church. Accountability. We're accountable one to another. And so the purpose for the church is accountability, so that we have a relationship with one another. And when somebody's not there for a while, other people get concerned. Say, hey, where's so-and-so? We haven't seen them for a while. And we follow up on that. Accountability. Number five. The sevenfold purpose for the church. Number five. Ordinances. Ordinances. And you know what the two ordinances of the church are. They're baptism and the Lord's Supper. Notice in our outline, first of all, Acts 2:41, and they that gladly received His word were baptized. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost. Thousands come forward and confess Christ as their Savior, and they that received Him were that day baptized. The ordinance of baptism was given to the local church. It's not a parachurch thing. It's a local church ministry to baptize someone. Someone always baptized under the auspices of a church. Philip went out and led the Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord, but he was a deacon in a church that baptized that fella out in the river in the middle of the desert. All right, when Philip was baptized, he was baptized under the auspices of a church. It doesn't mean he was a member of the church in Jerusalem. He's traveling back to Ethiopia. But it's an ordinance of the local church. Also, the Lord's Supper. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." Who's the you? The church at Corinth. He said to the church at Corinth, "I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread." 1 Corinthians 11, that's what we read every time we have the Lord's Supper. And so that ordinance, again, was given to the local church. It's not given to a radio ministry or a television ministry where they can mail you the elements and you can take the Lord's Supper at home. It was given to the church. Things are done just wild and wacky anymore around here. Even overseas, we had people they wanted to take communion at home. I said, well, come to church. The church was given the authority of giving the Lord's Supper and baptism, and that's the purpose of the church. We come to the church to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. We come to the church to follow in the Lord's Supper, the ordinances. Number six, evangelism. The purpose of the church is evangelism. You know the verse in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We've read it many times, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. What happened in Acts chapter 1, verse 8? The Lord went back to heaven and told His disciples as the foundation of His church, He said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. So the purpose of the church is for evangelism, to reach lost people with the gospel. We come into here and we get challenged by the Word of God to have a burden for the lost, and we go out from here, and the people we see every day and stare into their eyes are people that are going to spend eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. Everybody we talk to every day is going to spend eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. That's a tremendous fact to get a hold of. We go through our day and just talk to people and don't even think twice about it. But if we could look into those eyes and realize there's a soul in there that's going to spend eternity. When this life is over, that soul's going to spend eternity in one of two places. And the purpose of the church is to evangelize. Either for us to witness to them and talk to them, or to give them a gospel tract, or to invite them to come to the church and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not only that, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. The church is given the commission of reaching the world. That's what we do through missionaries. If a person's not in church, they're not reaching the world. giving, and I know I'm outdated here, but giving $10 to Sally Struthers to feed the orphans or the wherever they are at, I know she probably doesn't do that anymore, but that's all I remember. Doing that is not reaching people for Christ. Sending missionaries out is to reach them with the gospel, not just to feed their stomach, though I'm all for that, not to give them medical care, though that's a good thing, but to reach their soul for Christ. And we do that through the church, so people that are not in the church are not reaching anybody for Christ. Those that claim to be Christian, but say, I have no need for the church. Well, Jesus had a need for it, and that need was to give it the commission to evangelize and reach the world. Number seven. The sevenfold purpose for the church. Number seven is growth. Growth. Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to turn there because I want you to see the verses. Ephesians chapter 4. Again, I know there are folks out there who just don't see the importance of church, don't see the requirement of going. And sometimes those people, that you're not going to change their mind. Their minds are like cement, all mixed up and firmly set. And no amount of truth, no amount of Bible is going to change their mind. You're just not going to do it. But here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11. Ephesians 4 and verse 11, and when he ascended, verse 10, he ascended up to heaven, verse 11, and he gave some apostles, all right, there were apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And I believe that pastors and teachers are one office. It's not pastors and then a second office is teacher, but pastors are to be teachers. And he gave pastors and teachers, verse 12, what for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. If I understand the Bible right, and I'm pretty sure I do on this issue, you're not going to grow in the Lord outside of the church. Now people say, well, I can write to Dr. So-and-so or Pastor So-and-so, and I can get their books, and I can get their tapes, and I can get their CDs, and I can get this, and I can read at home and study at home. You won't get a well-rounded ministry. You won't get a well-rounded Christian life. You won't get a balanced Christian life by doing that. Because those fellows that you're writing off to, well, one specializes in prophecy, the other specializes in giving, and one spot, and you're not going to get the well-balanced stuff you're going to get from the Word of God in church. By going Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I mean, think just what we do around here. We've studied through the book of Proverbs. We've studied through the book of Psalms. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians. We've gone through all these different books of the Bible. We've studied Bible characters in the Old Testament. We're studying discipleship now. All these different things. We're getting a well-balanced menu from the Word of God. And that feeds us in our spiritual growth. You know what happens if you only eat one thing all the time? You don't develop properly. And so we need to get all of the Word of God. And the purpose of the pastor is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These seven things, preaching, fellowship, encouragement, accountability, ordinances, evangelism, and growth, are all purposes of the church for which Jesus Christ gave His life. That puts a lot of value on the church. That makes it not just a secondary element or a secondary thing. It's something that the Lord gave us because He cared about us enough to give Himself so we would have these things. So if you and I want to be disciples of Christ, you got to do what you did tonight. Get out the door, get in your vehicle, get down to the church house, open a Bible in front of you, be fed from the Word of God, and be a disciple of Christ. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.